With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought it back to me that I miss home a lot. I tell you that now, I miss home. I miss my people a lot, but just watching the game. But I think just having that moment with the family was very, very special for me from a personal point of view. And
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Cullum. Still got it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Arthur, how are you?
Fine.
How's your come down?
I don't know. I don't get too high or too low. I'm all good.
Did you stand up when the goal went in?
No.
No?
No.
Did you, any yelp? Did the cat scurry across the room?
No.
Did you watch it at home?
Oh, at home.
Yeah. Alone?
Yeah.
With the curtains pulled?
No, I'm fine. I'm all right. I'm pretty measured about it. He'll meet the moment. I'm not going to meet the moment with you.
Glasses in the case like Rafa Benitez 2005 Champions League final shootout. Just on to the next thing.
No. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
How
about you?
The kids were kind of coming in and out. The dog was there for various stages. Yeah. The dog had to be consoled. I apparently had to apologise to the dog afterwards. It was like she was looking at me going... So
yeah, I had a moment. I got it right. Yeah, earlier there was carnage in our house at the time of the goal. In and around the five, I'd say the 85th minute on, there was total carnage happening. So it's kind of a moment you won't forget. You're this crazy high. I was only saying to you this morning how I feel about it now. It is mad, isn't it? What's the opposite of this, the five stages of grief? Five stages of euphoria.
You're transcending to a higher plane.
Yeah.
I've been in two minds about whether or not to explain what happened on Thursday. No good deed goes unpunished. Are you familiar with that saying? So, last Christmas, you reach a certain point in your relationship where it's difficult to buy Christmas presents for the people you love, right?
Uh-huh.
And an announcement was made that a well-known comedian/podcaster, Joanne McNally, was doing a series of shows. My wife's a big fan of the podcast.
A lot of shows.
I'm like something like 30 shows.
Yeah, like non-stop.
I was there doing the maths. It was like it's $1 million in net, I think, from the Olympia. And this is a long, long, long before any fixture lists are announced. So, lo and behold, we're a week out. And I'm like, is gonna try and get some tickets for the game against Portugal. And I'm like, oh, there's something in my diary. What's this? Oh shit! So, watch the Armenia game in the pub. The Armenia-Bulgaria game in the pub, and then had to furtively keep an eye on live score while, you know, while my gender is generally being berated. Yeah. I'm like, this is funny. Look, I'm missing the greatest game of all time. Oh, a red card for Ronaldo. I'm sure that's not very... So I missed the Portugal game. I had to watch it back, knowing the results the next morning, going, oh my God.
It's kind of a funny thing, this crew of Off the Ball Breakfast, its relationship with that Portugal game. All three of us have kind of similar. Because while you were gallivanting, we were down in Limerick at the All-Ireland Podcast Awards. So the awards started, ceremony started at about 7:40. But there were phones out galore. Like, yeah. It was a wedding, yeah. Phones out galore. So we saw it, but we weren't properly able to enjoy it. So there was we all celebrated or noted, I'd say, the Troy Parrott goals on the night in Dublin. Noted, like
first one for sure. Yeah.
First one, and then the second one, and then you could feel the tension. You could feel the atmosphere in the room kind of shifting. The distraction occurred from the awards. It was like, oh, what's happening here? And I think for the second half, the bar was frequented. Like, because then it was a realisation. But because we continued to chat away during the night, but it felt like, oh, there's an element of control about this Irish performance. So you'd look up every so often and be like, oh, it's going well.
Yeah.
It's going well. So it was really only Sunday's game.
Just for the record, I was at the Armenia home game, right? So
in advance. But so yeah, that's kind of, we'll always have that about the Portugal game. But, you know, the Sunday game, couldn't have been more invested in it.
No,
at the same time, it was carnage in the household.
I even watched a good bit of the build-up, which wasn't very good, but anyway.
So good. Few things. Why was it such carnage? Just like one baby.
Oh, how'd you get on with your baby?
Don't do that. Don't ask me a question.
No, it was as I said to you, it's peak energy time.
Okay.
And an accident occurred.
Oh, okay.
And it occurred in the 85th minute, and I had a decision to make, and I did not prioritize the child.
You can always let it. You can always let it stew for an hour.
That's what I was thinking. I was how much damage is
very toxic.
How much damage is it really going to do?
Yeah.
So that was negotiated very calmly among the adults in the room.
Yeah.
And so that's like genuinely would probably be the elements that I remember the most about it. Because it was literally the peak of the mayhem. The peak was Kelleher whipping it in.
I came in this morning and you were watching the highlights again.
Yeah.
How long will it be forever? Is this a forever thing, do you think?
Well, it's funny because people ran to me yesterday and just people that either haven't heard from in a while or haven't heard from ever saying that they were listening to yesterday morning show and they were getting caught up with it. And hundreds was always the figure about how many times people have watched the Troy Parrott winning goal. Hundreds. But I'd say I'm on my 25th view of it this morning. I'm seeing different things now when you're slightly removed from it. So, you know, I have a couple of things myself. But I was noting the FAI official YouTube page, right? So that has the official highlights. I was always thinking, like, why can't they put these highlights up straight after the game? There's a FIFA
statute of...
Yeah, for 24 hours.
Right.
So they premiered the highlights yesterday, the FAI page, at 5 p.m. when they could score for it. So I've noted, right, that the extended highlights, 10 minutes, 1.7 million views. Jeez, on the FAI Christ. Page, yeah. And then the shortened highlights, nearly 6 minutes, is 204,000 and counting. And they were both uploaded 14 hours ago. Then if you look at the Portugal game, 2.8 million highlights. So this is proper global. You know, that's when we're really proud of ourselves as a nation, when other countries care.
I think because the Ronaldo thing took off. Like, Ronaldo having a the bit beforehand helped, right?
Yeah.
But then the red card was so spectacular, and it's his first ever for Portugal.
I know. Like, that's mad.
You know, it's the type of thing that does actually. You know, Piers Morgan, obviously, whatever. But then it has crossover appeal to. So that happened, and then they backed it up. I see James Richardson saying it's the greatest World Cup qualifier ever.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm like, I mean, I'm sure he hasn't seen every single one of them.
Yeah, but it's the feeling, isn't it?
It's
I know it is, but it is a dreamlike state. This is I feel like this morning kind of day two of a wedding where you're tired and emotional, but you're still on a high. That's the kind of feeling of it too. It's like, what more could we say about it today?
Well,
when I was watching those highlights this morning when you walked into the office, I'm getting a different feel from it completely than I got yesterday.
I don't know, I'm still luxuriating in, they ended up in coppers, some of them, which is what an epic journey that is.
Yeah.
You're on the field, involved in that goal somehow, and then you end up in coppers, still in your gear, afterwards. What a trip! By way of, it looked like Gibney's and Malahide, with Robbie Keane leading the crowd.
Yeah.
You say that, right? You say it's like the day two of a wedding, but I think you're about to enter a discordant note. You're going to bring up Roy Keane in the second leg against Iran.
That's later on when we're at the bar.
That's where the fight starts.
I just want to say.
We've hit the whiskey.
Yeah.
The top shelf. We're going to work our way across the expensive
stuff.
Yeah,
we'll do it, buddy. It's been great catching up with you. And then an hour later, we're being pulled apart. How did that conversation start? Yeah, it took up a good portion of our meeting, didn't it, beforehand?
Well, just you better explain that.
Yeah,
you didn't accidentally, so you did totally accidentally wander into Saipan. but you didn't mean to.
Exactly, yeah. So David Connolly is going to be on the show.
Apologising in advance for bringing this up, but it's just...
Totally, because I thought we'd still luxuriate in the joy. Can we get back to the joy afterwards? Can that be a promise?
Totally, yeah,
can
yeah,
be a promise
yeah.
you give me, yeah. Well, David Connolly's coming up, as you all know there. And we were wondering what his Republic of Ireland involvement was and the big moments and all that. And Gerry, you were talking about the hat-tricks he was scoring, how many hat-tricks have we scored over the years. And then I was just looking at his big moments. I was like, did he play in the Iran playoffs for the World Cup? The infamous ones, I suppose, in a Roy Keane perspective. And the first one, he was unused sub when they won 2-0. And then the second one, he played. And of course, Roy Keane didn't play, as we all know. Coincidentally, I was saying to Arthur yesterday, the first ever United game I went to was the 17th of November 2001. Roy Keane played against Leicester City, played the whole game, centre mid, captain. The Iran game happened on the 15th of November.
2 days before.
2 days before. I didn't realise
Thursday, Saturday.
That soon afterwards. I thought the whole thing, McCarthy, you know, questioning whether he could have played or whatever. I thought there was at least a week or 10 days distance between the next Man United game. 2 days later.
So, the reason this is important is because Keane thinks McCarthy accuses him of faking injury, mm-hmm. as in he could have played in the Iran game. But Keane's version of it is that they had an agreement in place that if qualification was secure, he wouldn't have to go to the away game because, you know, his body was wearing down. Now, there are two versions to that. I'm not entirely sure that Mick McCarthy had negotiated a deal with Alex Ferguson around the release of the player, but I hadn't quite realised that it was 2 days later. So, you know, maybe...
I don't think any of us...
Keane's reaction is a little bit, you got me. That's why I'm so angry.
Yeah, well, that's very...
Not that he was faking injury, but that, you know...
Well, you know, I was lucky enough to see the Saipan premiere and... I won't give it away because it's out in the new year. People want to see it, what happens and all that. But certainly the depiction of both characters, it feels to me it's very one-sided towards one character. And with this game
is
in particular...
Is it the celebrity who's guaranteed to get all the clicks and views or is it the kind of gruff...
he's got a podcast.
And he has catchphrases, you know, as much, maybe even more than Roy at this stage. You know? So... I'll leave you to say that, but I think a lot of people could call us by surprise because the United Leicester game was just a bog standard 3 o'clock Saturday match.
A brace for Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Yeah, Van Nistelrooy won. Leicester York took the pitch. York got the other one of York's last goals for United.
Dennis
Irwin played one of his last games. Yeah. And that was, and we were only talking about because we were just like, what's the first game you went to? And I looked it up, the date. I was like, oh yeah, and it was just right like half an hour ago. I was like, Jesus Christ, the Iran game happened 2 days before that.
Yeah. Anyway, should we
yeah. So
back to the joy. What other aspects of the goal that you've missed?
I
started to look at the celebration in the crowd. Gone.
Yeah, I was trying to see if I recognise anyone in the crowd and all that. And Parrott's second goal. We talked about it yesterday, how amazing it is.
Yeah, but it's underrated.
Like, underrated, right? The composure and the patience he has for that ball to bounce one last time. So it would have been very easy to catch it on
hand.
The flat volley. Don't think so.
I thought it might have been.
I don't have any suspicion.
One of the replays.
I'd be very sceptical of handballs as well.
One of the replays, it seemed to bounce up and hit his hand.
I think it was all legit. But a lot of players, I suspect, would have tried to hit it flat on the volley when it bounced up. And he just very purposely lets it bounce, which falls in line with his character of this, you know, supremely confident guy who's always believed in himself. Which you can't always say about the team overall. And maybe the evidence wasn't there either for the man himself until very recently. But what a finish. And the other thing I noted as well, I watched it back this morning. For both Hungarian goals, I think they play Kashmir by Led Zeppelin in the stadium. Which is an interesting celebration song. It's quite slow tempo. Foreboding for the opposition, I imagine, is what they're trying to do there. So after, you know, 3 minutes they take the lead, 1-0. As they run away and celebrate together.
As long as you get to the peak of it.
I don't think they would. This is only the start of the song. And then the other thing was watching all the edits yesterday, mostly involving Troy Parrott. Very emotional songs, making it even more emotive, the video. But the big one was someone, and I will get the reference here for that person, has edited Just Today by Feeder, which is an iconic montage by RT for the 2002 World Cup, and it's mad. It's absolutely class.
It's funny how that they used to play that to close down the TV. Is that what, is that why it became? Well, you'd arrive back from the pub and turn on the TV, and there'd be nothing on. They would just, like, instead of a prayer at bedtime, they would play that montage. Is that it?
Yeah, in the wee hours. Yeah, that got an unbelievable amount of plays back in the day.
But even bear in mind, there was no YouTube for people to see it. So
yeah, that was the excitement when it came on. I'd say that got an unbelievable number of listens and watches back in the day before we went out. You know what I mean? It would get you up, this song and that montage of the World Cup.
So you taped it and put it on?
No, but now it's available on YouTube, I'm saying.
Yeah,
but back then, of course, it was appointment viewing. People would be getting back early from a night out. Got to catch Just the Day by Feeder.
But they wouldn't know it was on. It was like a filler, right?
It was Joe O'Neill on X. I don't know if Joe himself made it, but by his caption, he's certainly suggesting that he did. And unbelievable. The edit works perfectly for the beats of the song as well. And the other thing is, well, Troy Parrott's penalty, right? It looks to me like the ref did actually blow the whistle and gestured for it to be taken. I think he just couldn't hear him, the sound. And then you can see Szoboszlai from behind shouting at Paris twice to take the penalty. Shouting at him. It was great. It was a good Sunday League vibe to it, you know.
Speaking of which, the under-17s are in action today. We haven't talked about the Canadian goalkeeper who got a lot of grief from everybody. But I was like, this is better, right? I mean, did our keeper start doing something similar having seen what was happening? Like, it was one of the most intriguing penalty shootouts. And maybe if we'd lost, I'd feel differently about this. But because we won, I feel benevolence towards the...
Yeah, it's a great name, Jonathan Ransom.
The child who was being a proper shithouse.
It was unbelievable how he was causing that reaction by every single Irish player who took a penalty. And presumably not all of those Irish players have the same personality. So he was getting to everyone. To everyone.
And they all responded. After they whipped it past him, they were like...
Yeah. And he seemed unaffected by the whole shenanigans as well. If anything, it just roused him to do more. So I appreciate it. He made one great save, actually, when Ireland were about to win the shootout. But he didn't actually... I think he only made one save in the whole shootout. But he was having himself. And I appreciate it.
They're playing again today against Switzerland. The it's an afternoon kickoff in Qatar.
Quarter to three.
Speaking of the celebrations, do you know who I met?
Go on.
Outside yesterday, show finished, went for a coffee. Just went for a little wander around, very brisk, cold. Coming back into the building, little revolving door, came the whole way through. And I see a guy calling for me from the other side. Now, being naturally suspicious, I'm thinking, I don't know this man. I don't know what he wants from me. But go back out.
Avoiding that.
But go back out, because he seemed friendly. And I get from him, tell Ger Gilroy that was me with the suitcase.
Hey, suitcase man.
Suitcase man in Dublin Airport, which then, lovely fella, said he watches the show all the time. And then... I mentioned it to you, to be fair, and it was the same first question. I would have assumed he was going somewhere.
Yeah, but he
was obviously on his way back.
Right.
So he just parked up.
So were we watching the arrivals gate?
No,
Can you go back into that pub? Because that looks like Terminal 1 in Dublin, where they were. I know that pub, but I think that's the departures.
Well, but you're in, once you get belched out...
Yeah, you get burped out.
You have to do that big long walk. Yeah. Right? And then you're just wherever you want.
No, that's passport. The big long walk in Dublin Airport, down the hall, through passport control.
Well, you have to go through passport.
But then you're out in the...
Then you're out in departure.
There's no pub there.
I think there is a pub there, but there's also... That looked to me like they hadn't gone through passport yet, that they decided that they were going to go...
I didn't know you could detour to the pub.
Oh, yeah, you can go back and do your shopping.
No...
I need clarity.
You'd have to know where you're going.
You know the way you're passing people who are getting on the plane.
The window.
Yeah, but like, I like to know. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But say you have a connecting flight, where do you go? You don't go back out and come back in.
Oh, you have to walk about 4 miles. There's nothing to be seen. There's the odd Jackson water fountain. And then get your passports ready there. And then you're out to the baggage handling. I think there might be a cafe and there might be a shop.
I also thought that we were watching Departures, but I just think the way that he was jumping up and down with the suitcase was like... iconic. Man slips on ice.
Well, everyone seems
not
to know
quite
it.
Yet, well, but it will be in years to come.
He was holding it, so maybe he had just collected it. So he was.
That's a carry on. That was a carry on. He's not.
Yeah.
Just everything about him yesterday. Yeah, but he's not waiting around for baggage.
Could be Ryanair though. So he might have had to.
Everything about him yesterday, he's not waiting around.
Yeah, I would put any money on that.
All business.
He was all business. Like he's up and about the next morning. Yeah,
but look, listen. The euphoria of receiving that information yesterday. I was like, oh, no way he got onto you. And then when the adrenaline wore down, I was like, wait a minute.
Andy knows where we live.
Wait a minute. If he's talking to you this morning, and that match finished at 4 o'clock. Where was he going? Where did he come back? Let us know.
Yeah, please do let us know.
0879 180 180. What was his name?
I don't know. I didn't
Baggage
ask.
Boy.
Suitcase man. But it is. Everyone knows it. I was even asking at home. Like in America, wouldn't have been following up too much on the celebration videos. But straight away, you know the guy with the suitcase. Yeah, it's like I met him. But a lovely fella and friend of the show.
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
If you want to get in touch this morning, 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number. You can leave a comment in the YouTube stream. Two things I want to talk about briefly. Anthony Joshua and Jake Paul, right? Barry McGuigan has been quoted in the Telegraph today. If it's all straight up and proper, you would worry that he would take this kid's head off. You'd worry that he would knock Jake Paul out very, very badly. Correct. If it's all straight up and proper, he's doing a lot of heavy lifting. Right. Like anybody who watched Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. This is it's £140 million is what the Telegraph is saying, of which only €56 million is going to Anthony Joshua, who's basically saying, screw you guys, I'm going to fight Tyson Fury next year. I'm going to take the money now. It's going to be the biggest fight of all time, in one respect, in terms of purse. And like, maybe Anthony Joshua does knock the head off him, and I'd watch that.
I'd find it hard not to think there's some preordained notion to it, because it like as a competitive thing, it wouldn't make any sense. Do you know, like unless you see it, you do see those guys. Before. I don't know what level Jake Paul's at, to be honest, but like he's obviously not that level.
No,
but you do see those guys when they're like the best guys in those tune-up fights that they can go long. So I don't know if Jake Paul's even at a tomato can's a cruel word for those other guys, but at that level, like, is he like,
could he last four or five rounds?
Yeah,
rounds?
Like just. I presume Anthony Joshua isn't going to go full blow at it. There's no need for him to. But
well, Joshua is such a conservative fighter that like this could be the most boring fight of all time. Five punches thrown.
Yeah, I
mind the head.
It does. I do wonder now how they'll navigate. It's almost more interesting from the marketing point of view of it, that it's like, how do you sell this? That people don't just, how do you avoid the fact that it's like it's such a clear mismatch? And kind of install some jeopardy.
Okay, let me try and do that. Right, look at the heroism of this man taking on this guy who's actually a fighter, and this guy's just a YouTuber. What an amazing story it is. What a rags to riches fella. This guy and his brother and YouTube. Wow, it's amazing. What a great platform. And also Netflix, what a great platform. Like, that's it.
I think Joshua won't play the black hat in it, will he? He's not going to be like the bad guy.
Well, he's never done that. In Jake Paul's narrative.
Yeah.
Which is all that matters for the Netflix YouTube fellas. They're like, oh, who's this guy he's fighting? And then you go and you watch some of his fights and you're like, wow, the highlights reel is good, but also, yeah, some little guys seem to be able to beat this guy.
Oh God, it's really come to part from. Ah, look.
Kind of means Anthony Joshua's done, isn't it?
No, he's going to fight.
No, he'll fight Fury next year.
That's the whole point, yeah. Now, they are done. They both are past their best, and that is the bit that is really unfortunate.
Once you even step out of fighting your peers and your competitors, it feels like the beginning of the end.
He's probably already in the beginning of the end, but you're like, Fury fought that fella, I forget your name, was it Francis
Ngannou?
Yeah. And got knocked, didn't he? It's just about accumulation at this stage. And it's a fine, you bring in a whole extra bit of audience then the next year when it's coming up, Joshua Fury. But now I see this morning Usyk's had to relinquish one of the belts.
Yeah, to
your man Wardley bet Tess Andy Parker. Lee's fella, yeah, a month ago.
Subsequently tested positive for cocaine on the day of the fight.
He's disputing it, I think.
Yeah.
But so now there's another belt back in play, like, you all of a sudden don't have to beat Usyk anymore to win it back. So I don't know, I'm not sure what the order is or the thing for that belt, but it is funny how it can just open back up again and all of a sudden you just saw the narrative. I kind of get it, like, from Joshua's point of view, like, maybe he's, I suppose he's fairly well known in America. Probably as much as any of them, like, at the minute. So, but yeah, it probably opens up to a whole new audience. You go out there, you kind of show that kind of side of yourself, have a bit of fun with it without much of the jeopardy. But I can't imagine it's not preordained in some way that it needs to last a minimum number of rounds or whatever, and no one wants to actually get hurt. That's also, I'd say.
No. No, you don't want to be getting hurt, and you could get properly hurt. I should have done the headline, sorry, because it would have been a quick conversation about Hamer's deal. Midas Dutch, Halgrimson predicts Parrott will get big move after heroics. Troy's time in Holland could end soon with top clubs on alert. That is the back of the Star this morning. I would have been knocking on Evan's door, so Parrott wouldn't have played if Evan Ferguson had been fit. One of the great sliding doors moments of our sport. Dutch and go. Halgrimson thinks AZ will face a fight to hang on to hero Parrott.
What does he cost now? What does he cost?
I don't know. Actually, like, strikers from the Dutch league have a mixed success rate. Sometimes they're unbelievably successful, and sometimes they don't really work. Like, everything from Matija Kesman to Ruben Nistelrooy. Yeah. I think perhaps the fact that he has experience of playing in other leagues. So this is John Fallon's piece in the Examiner. Halgrimson's set to be offered a new Ireland deal, and it's very strong. Hymer Halgrimson will be rewarded for his progress as Ireland manager with a contract extension until Euro 2028, an offer he's amenable to accepting.
Fair play to him.
That's not what it's saying in The Independent, though.
No, Dan McDonald there, back page as well. It's understood there are senior figures in the FAI who are happy to wait before deciding about the longer-term path towards Euro 28. Halgrimson, who was recently linked with a vacant post at Indonesia, does not appear to be perturbed about that, as he may also have other options off the back of that special doubleheader.
So that's... there's a little bit of a... It's like when Szoboszlai had the ball and Parrott was standing there and everybody's just, well, let's take a beat here and see what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I don't know. What are you going to do? Having slept on it, I think, go for it. Give him the deal.
Okay.
I don't think there's any incentive. You know, we need him hungry. We need him to qualify, was the view from the lads yesterday in studio and I think from James McLean on the line. But like, the incentive to qualify is that you're qualifying for the World Cup. I don't think anybody needs we'll give you a new deal if you qualify for the World Cup. It's like, I'm going to the World Cup. It's the greatest thing in football. It's what every single child dreamed of doing, is going to a World Cup. And you'd be like, yeah, I'm going to the World Cup.
Look,
also there's like a 7-figure bonus apparently for qualifying for the World Cup.
So a fair bit's going to change from this conversation in the next 24 hours. So we have North Macedonia, Wales tonight at 7:45. That's going to be influential in what happens. And then tomorrow, I think the new world rankings are out.
We also have Bosnia, Austria.
Bosnia and Austria,
also matters.
We're 62nd at the moment, but because we've beaten two sides in a row ahead of us, we should have new rankings. So it could be part two, it could be part three.
Do we get loads of ranking points for that? Or is
I don't know if there's that much transparency in how they award that. So there's a world where, say, we get a difficult semi-final, or we just don't show up on the day, on, I think it's the 26th of March next year, which is a Thursday. And if they lose that comfortably, 2 or 3 nil, party's over. So then if he's just signed a new contract, are we excited about, okay, look, that's the end of this particular journey, but there's more to come from him, Halgrimson, and Ireland. Now, would you still feel that?
I think on balance, probably. You know, it depends. Do we get beaten by a bad team who play badly and we've no spark, we've nothing to us?
I think, look, we're all still in a mixed degree of euphoria between the three of us and between the nation, right? But let's be fair, right? This feeling's going to go in a couple of weeks, and March is an awful long time away. And if they lose, say it's to another Armenia-type team, slightly better, of course, but it's an Armenia-type performance and result, I think we're going right back to the same sentiment about Halgrimson.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for better or for worse.
So in that sentiment, this was something of a fluke, a surge of optimism.
No, I think it can be all proactive and planned, and everything worked out exactly like Hamer Hagemson wanted. But the reason that he still has his doubters is, you know, the previous games up to that point.
There's a body of work, like,
you know, this time last week we were saying who, not whether.
Yeah. I know, and then
is two games enough?
So somebody
to change everything?
Somebody's making the point that in terms of world rankings, the victory over Portugal it beats our 3-0 win over the USSR in 1974 by a point. I don't know what the scale is, but like historically, it's a historic level because it's 2-0 and the rankings they were. What are ELO ratings?
Oh, I don't know. I do see someone else making the point, though, that if you don't give him the contract and they do qualify, then he's got you right over a barrel.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, if you pay me. I don't know.
But that's okay, too, if that happens. If he...
Then you have to pay him twice.
Or if he walks, it's fine. And then he gets someone else in.
They'd be destroyed if he qualified them for the World Cup and he walked.
Before the tournament,
yeah.
Well, you have them under contract until the end of the tournament, right?
We have some form,
and also there is a 7-figure bonus for qualifying, so he'll stick around for that because obviously.
Yeah.
There's loads of comments coming here. So the evidence is he fixed the shape since those games we've been talking about and made excellent decisions in the game during the Hungary match. I'd give him a deal.
The point about the excellent decisions during the game, I think, is a little overstated in that we were chasing two goals. You know.
Yeah.
We were chasing two goals and there's not much more that you could do. Now, you know,
the only issue with, I think, I find it very difficult to discredit him for doing things really well when you would do the same for him not doing things really well. But the only thing about it is that if you're going off the base of these two games, then is that your new norm? Is that the expectation that we'll go into every tough away game with the expectation that we can win? It probably isn't.
So we would have been, if we hadn't been chasing the winner at the end, we'd have been happy with an away draw, right?
Yeah.
So two draws against the second best team and having won on aggregate against Portugal, we would have finished second if we just had beaten Armenia. I think the expectation is that you put in a level of performance where everybody knows their jobs, people aren't making mistakes, there's a bit of strength and depth, and then you play it. It's international football. Loads of teams are all exactly the same level.
Yeah. I think we're in a great position in this conversation, to be honest. I think there's very, very few, if any, losers off the back of this. Right? Because we've proven the last two games, like, geez, there actually really is something there in Ireland. Whatever way we went about it, whatever being goals down and we needed goals, they did it. The manager's reputation has improved immeasurably. I think he gets a job off the back of this regardless of what happens to him personally.
Yeah.
And we've proven that there's a bit of excitement to be had and there's still players to return and come in. So I think it's a very positive conversation whatever happens. I'm not particularly strong on whether he stays or not, to be honest.
Me neither.
I don't really care. Like, if he goes, I'd be like, I'll never forget what he did in that regard.
That is the opposite, because you were like, oh, we're never going to, this is going to be a footnote in history.
Absolutely.
Remember that period.
I said that several times in this window, that like he's going to be, not a quiz question obviously, but in 10 years time, like, Jesus, yeah, do you remember the Hamer Hagemson era?
Yeah.
Like Ralph Ragnick at United. Be like, oh yeah, yeah. Jeez, he was in charge. And he did say we need open heart surgery basically. Oh yeah, that's interesting. But the difference is he's had these games, so he'll always have his place in history.
Dennis Walsh yesterday in the paper was listing off the various Irish candidates, and there's nobody who you think would actually take the job at the moment or be ready for it on the other side. Maybe Bradley. I don't think they'd give it to Bradley just yet. And I think, you know, there's a scepticism out there, which you've expressed in the past, about you'd like to see him manage in England first before he gets the Ireland gig, and I understand that. Mm. But I don't know if there's a million candidates out there. Like, I know everybody says Canham and your man, the CEO, whose name I've completely blanked on, what a bunch of chums, I can't believe that they were, we got stuck with them. But eventually they got a manager who was of international quality. Like, he's fine, right?
Yeah.
There aren't a million of those out there, it turns out.
Yeah, like, throughout all this time, I've never felt he's done anything that particularly bad either. I always thought he was just fine. Like, he's a grand manager. He's never really felt like we were... Post-Armenia felt like a bit of a crisis. And he even admitted himself, he's like, yeah, look, we're not going to qualify probably, this is bad. But he's just so calm about the whole thing, you know. And that's used for and against him. So when it's going well, it's like, oh, he's so calm, that's why we're doing so well. When we're doing badly, it's like, oh, he has no passion. So it's very dependent on results there, in that way. I just think he's fine. Like, if he stays on, great.
There's a lot to be said for a bit of stability in a situation where it looks like a team might have found an identity. You should at least take that gamble, which is less of a gamble than putting in Duff or trying to convince Brendan Rodgers to step down and pay him a lot of money, and then everybody's pissed off by the fact that Brendan Rodgers is doing the press conferences and oh look, he's wearing a suit. Oh, he's not wearing a suit. Do you know what I mean? It's like there's nobody who we're going to be delighted about managing Ireland. Nobody that ever's going to walk in and go, oh, it's the Messiah. This is the job he was born to take. Maybe Duffer, Duffer did walk out on Shelton. Shelton had more points per game this season since he left.
Yeah, he was there for a long time. We say walk out on Shelton. I mean,
he literally walked out on them.
He was there for years. Like, it's not like he walked out after 6 months.
3 years, yeah.
Well, yeah, but 5 years at the club, I think, in total. I remember reading the thing that he'd been there at the underage structures beforehand.
Yeah.
He'd been working with the club for a long time.
Yeah. He was. And also, he's backed up the reason he walked away, too. He's had enough. He was talking to Dan McDonald there last week. He was just had enough. Like, I was like, I actually don't mind what he did at all. I was like, I wouldn't use it as a red flag against him.
Really?
I think he explained himself. It'd be weird if he was just like
10 days
just
out
went
from
out
the
his
European
abs, not gonna do it. I think there's kind of an integrity to it where he's like, look, I've taken this far as I actually can't get any more of these players. It's going to turn toxic. I'm just going to go. It's like admirable, actually.
But the bit where he's responsible for it turning toxic, where he's like, those players aren't as professional
as me.
They're playing golf.
Would you rather he stays in position, becomes more toxic, steps aside and has a think about for himself and been like, okay, I was going down a bad path.
I'd rather none of that happened.
Yeah,
I'd rather he wasn't giving out about the players. Like, you know, I just think that, like, he's your number one. He's your number one guy.
No. Sorry, is that a question to me?
Both of you.
No, not for me. No.
I'd prefer him. I would prefer him, but that's
just because you like to see the world burn and a bit of chaos. Or?
No, it's not chaos. Like, he's
you saw enough in what he did with Chelsea.
I just think he's shown himself to be. I just think with international football that. I like the idea of someone for whom it is the be-all and end-all having that job.
Yeah, I get that.
I think the fact of the matter is, and Hamer Hagemson may do a great job, he's already, the last two games have been sensational. But it's not
his country.
It's not. Like, and I don't mean that in a sort of negative way, because people come in all sorts of different ways, but it is that kind of cool detachment. You don't want someone going mad for it, but the fact that when he does leave, he'll happily go somewhere else, and that'll be same sort of thing. It's just it's a job.
Yeah.
And maybe he gets more attached than he expected, or whatever. Maybe it flames out.
Now, you would have said the same about Jack Charlton, obviously.
Well, I can't possibly speculate, but like, I suppose he made his... I presume there was a bit of that, but he made his...
because we were
I think there's a different situation pre-Jack Charlton, post-Jack Charlton, because of what Jack Charlton did. So, like, I was quite happy with Trapattoni because it felt like you were getting someone whose expertise were like, oh, wow, this could actually help. This could be beneficial.
Yeah. And
whereas I don't feel Imran Agmunson brings that. So there's
that costs
kind of
$2 million a year.
There's
yeah.
a jobbing element to it.
Well, there is, but it's the shop we're shopping in.
Maybe, but you do look around, and I don't know the difference in the money-wise, but you do look around, and be it Craig Bellamy at Wales, Clark at Scotland, O'Neill at Northern Ireland, like, you can't tell me it doesn't mean that bit more when they do enjoy success to those managers in charge. There's just a slight detachment.
Don't phrase your version of that.
I just think that it's like, look, I wouldn't, like, if you're asking me right now, would you go this morning and get rid of the thing? No, that'd be crazy. After what's happened, he deserves what he's going to get. But I don't know if you're like, right, that's it, lock it down. Next 3 years, we've seen enough. Because as well as that, the football has been chronic at times. Like, we can't just, like, again, if that doesn't go in, and it did, so it doesn't, like, it's a bit of a speechless argument, but if it doesn't go in, we're looking back at a campaign.
I know, the last two games they played better football. Like,
yeah, but as you said,
there are patches of it. Like, you stick Coleman, now, in fairness, there's been, I'm not saying it's been without mistakes, but on balance, on the balance of probabilities, I don't think Duffer's ready for it yet. I would have several red flags from that. And if he wants to go back and prove that he has learned from, you know, the toxic environment and stepping away from it and how he would do it next, which is, I'm sure he's capable of doing because he's still a very young manager, then let's be having you. But in the meantime, I think at the value that we're currently fishing at, I would have him for the next, all the way through to the Euros.
Really?
Yeah, I would at this stage. Because look at the national outpouring of joy that has just happened that he is centrally involved in.
Yeah.
You don't think he's centrally involved in it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's also centrally involved in the shocking parts before that.
Yeah, but you don't get any credit for recovering from mistakes.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see the degree to which there's recovery.
Well, they've
as you said, like, a lot of there's a fortuitous nature to the way it's happening. Insofar as this has been a 4-day period defined by Troy Parrott, who doesn't play if Hamer Halgrimson has his full team available to him.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he comes off the bench.
Maybe he does. You
know? I'm sure he
does.
But
it's an interesting... I'd be loath to go, oh, it's all master plan.
But he's, no one's saying it's all master this, plan. But I literally didn't say that. It's like the best available thing is to double down and go, right, there are signs of progress and it's less risky than blowing it all up to bring Duffer in, who's going to be like, all right, lads, we're not going to play five at the back anymore, and you three, no, I'm not going to do that. And actually, you know what, I don't like you, so you can sling your hook. And it's like, it's all about Duffer.
Ah, that's very harsh. But you were the exact person who said it wasn't all about Duffer when he was up on the hill in Dalymount.
And you said it was.
No, I said that was more of a sort of, that was more evidence of,
well,
that.
I think that's where they put him. I think there was an element of...
Now you're... Anyway, he's not going to happen. There's no point discussing this.
Well, he might.
But I just think that it's like, I think it's you know, we don't know, for instance, Hamer's time in Jamaica wasn't all that good. It's not, we're not going through, but we didn't sift through that. It's just because Duff's thing is more common to us, more commonly known, that we're kind of going, well, that's a red flag. But like, it's not... We don't know the story of what happened. Like, it's as if he was there for 3 or 4 months, the way it's talked about, and it just blew up and he walked away. Like, it was years worth of work that he turned into a title-winning team.
Yeah, no,
and subsequently left in place that even if he wasn't the right person to carry it on, they did. If not, like, they've gone.
No, they've improved.
Yeah, but like,
they've improved since he left.
Yeah, so I
they're
I don't
playing
know.
Better football since he left.
Okay, well, that's a matter of subjective, but it's you know. Right. I'd be loath to kind of hold that against them.
Kevin O'Toole probably thinks it's like this every time, says Alan on YouTube. It's amazing that we've gotten to this place, like, only a day and a half removed from the match, kind of obsessed with what's next, and the manager was like, are we uncomfortable with enjoying the moment?
Ah, no, I think everybody's luxuriating it, watching the replays.
Tell me this now, lads. Is the need for Roy Keane lessened?
It just doesn't feel like it's going to happen, does it?
But would you want Roy Keane now?
No.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I feel the cause for him would go down now, because it's like, oh no, everyone's happy, don't bring him in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Keane would be an even bigger risk than Duffer.
Yeah.
Like,
but Keane, that would excite me more, but it's a bigger risk, yeah.
And I don't think he's any real interest in this. Like, the contract has to be right was always his excuse for not taking any of the offers that he was
also
offered over the years.
He said regularly on his podcast, it was like, oh, international manager being nice, like, you're not working that much. It was like,
yeah,
yes,
like, I need a better work-life balance.
That's not the energy we want.
No, sorry, man. You enjoy your... he's a
you're right.
I brilliant comedian.
Exactly. I think his life is fantastic and continue enjoying it. But there is a part of me that would still love it. We've gotten to the bottom of the Dublin Airport discussion, lads. Thanks to our good buddies.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Thanks to our good buddies in the comments. Let me get them for you. Dozzy Funlap 92 on YouTube says, that pub is before you go through departures in T2. So that's when you go up the escalator, I think, and there's a place to your right just before security.
But he was in arrivals, so he came out and went
but
back
up.
But
if you go arrivals, okay. Terminal 2, you can easily go back up the escalator. And someone said, the DK has been in touch, you can walk back into departures at the landing. And someone said that they watched, Stipeman 633 says the pub is in arrivals, watch Whiff and Win Gold there. So it can be done.
Oh, very good.
It can be done.
If you stick David Clifford into Google, the top things that come up: clothing, gear, clothing brand, collection, golf, club, jersey, age, job. Never once
teacher.
Is the but they're the suggested searches.
No, I'm joking.
So clothing, gear, clothing brand, collection. Fair play to everybody at McKeever who are delighted with the response. This is a new departure. Has anybody?
Well, yeah, you were asking that yesterday, weren't you? Has anyone noticed before? Do you think brand association, DJ Kerry and Puma, Trevor Giles in his sleeves, was the look? But in this, out Michael Jordan?
I don't think so. Not in the GA. I don't think so. Guys have done their own thing.
Yeah.
But nothing like this.
Our own Dara there was asking this morning, like, when's he going to wear all this stuff? When are we going to see it? When's he going to market it? Is he going to arrive with another Kerry Great, like, in the shops? You know? Is he going to be Paul Galvin part two for sportswear?
Well, McKeever have outlets in almost every GAA club in the country that they supply the gear for. So your club shop, you can go in and buy your club gear there. I suspect what they will also do is make sure that you can, if you want your Clifford McKeever socks or hoodie or gloves... Like it, you know.
A very interesting development. Because it's not something, he doesn't obviously court it.
Publicity, you mean?
Not, well, maybe he does. Maybe, like, I suppose you do see him doing bits, but he doesn't court in any sort of obvious sense. He's obviously relatively understated given his talent and achievements and all the rest. So it's an interesting way. I'd love to know the details behind it.
Are there GA traditionalists out there that think this is the beginning of the end?
The end of what?
Style will now overtake substance.
I think I don't. Like, what? You're going to afraid it gets to his head? Like,
yeah, what if Cork released, you know, back-to-back finalist gear?
Yeah.
In hurling, you know?
Yeah.
Back-to-back finalists, that would be amazing. They should do that.
We got to the dance twice, you know, just last the competition.
The dance. It is interesting, though. It'll be interesting because I've no idea. Like, I suppose I don't. Maybe you know, not you yet. But, I mean, do kids of a certain age, like, is he right up there?
Yeah,
with the Messi Ronaldo type, maybe not to that level, but like, is that how kind of?
It's a good question, actually.
Ubiquitous he is in the, because you know you see about I know it's different with GA, but you do see in those conversations about the focus now more so on individuals than clubs.
Yeah.
I don't know how real that is, but in soccer, but like it is interesting. I wonder how much he cuts across. Like,
he's a god among legends, isn't he? Down there,
no, but I mean countrywide.
Yeah,
it's obviously
countrywide is an interesting question. All right, for sure. But like he'd be, for kids, if you do a kids survey, he'd be top five most popular sports people in the country. You'd have Troy Parrott.
This week. Yeah.
David Clifford. Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, I don't know. Does Rory...
Katie Taylor. Like, see, he's right up there, isn't he?
Yeah, and look, the branding is cool.
It's cool. He's cool.
It's the Beckham. Class.
I think people will buy it.
It's the Beckham lean. And how successful it is, we'll wait and see. I think most people will wish him well with it.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of goodwill, to be fair to him. I would love to see some contradicting take. I feel like if it was a few years ago, that would have been. They'd made a good column on this, but I don't think anyone will go against him. He's just too well. He's too well respected and liked.
Well, you say that now. I'm sure there are some people who are like, "Oh, this is Bernard Brogan, King of the Hill territory." You know, gross individualism in the face of the team ethic. Is Jack happy? All that kind of stuff. I think that's all bollocks, by the way. I think I wish him all the very best of it, and I hope the gear is as good as he is. That's all that matters. Is the gear as good quality as Clifford is? Because if it isn't, he'll be disappointed forever.
The very last thing I'll say is, like, I wonder, did he A, have to get permission to do it? Presumably not. And also B,
did they find out about it at the same time as us?
So clear that he can just do whatever the hell he wants. It's like, I'll do what I want. In a nice way, but I'll do what I want.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As a season shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.